selfless service. Service is meeting the needs of others, giving, helping, anticipating. And our memory verse ties this in with covetousness. Beware of covetousness. If we think our position demands respect, kowtowing, service, we're not tempted to render it. We stand aloof. But if we're not thinking about self, we get down and help. We are not concerned with possessions. A man who is in a position of great wealth and responsibility, through whatever reasons, he's now got to the place where he has a chauffeur, everything is done for him. He meets a car that has a flat tire. Maybe he'll stop and let his chauffeur render the help. He's thinking about his own position and prestige. He's coveting honor and acceptance and reverence. He has a problem. He is incapable of rendering selfless service. Part number one, the motives of the master. Jesus Christ is the master of all masters. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. What moved Christ to act? Remember, he was busy helping the needy and the hungry and the sick. And the disciples said to him one time, Lord, eat. But he says to them, I have food you know nothing of. I am nourished. I am strengthened and supported by something that is beyond and above mere physical food. My food is to do the will of him that sent me. What are you eating? What food do you have? What nutriments do you call into your being? What do you feed your mind on? Television? How many hours a day? Books? What kind of books? How many hours a day? Conversation? Communication? With whom? On what topics? How many hours? What kind of motive and what kind of selfless service are we rendering? Now we need physical things, but we are not to take anxious thought for them. We've got to put out the necessary effort to feed our families. But we haven't to overfeed, overdress, overhouse, over support. There must be a balance. All the aspects of life, all the details must be kept in balance. But that meat that we eat off that will be like the master's, that food that supports us, that gives us joy and strength, must be following the Master's guidance in selfless service. Part number two, the spirit of discipleship in selfless service. Discipleship is discipline. Same word, same root. A disciple surrenders his will to another's commands. In the case of Jesus Christ, he chose men who left all to follow him. How do we take to being disciples of Christ? How do we take to his discipline? In the world, there are authoritative rulers. They sit on exalted chairs. It must not be so in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. The man who will be the leader must be the servant. Just as the Son of Man, who is the leader, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is the servant of all, even to the extent of laying down his life. In other words, to preserve his life was not his main motive. His main motive was to serve God and his fellow men. That's what he came for. Everything else, including his life, was ready to be laid on the altar. To illustrate this, Jesus Christ gave the ordinance of foot washing. He laid aside his robes of authority and power. He donned the towel, the symbol of service. He found a basin and filled it with water for cleansing. He stooped to wash the defilement of the road from the feet of his disciples, dried them with the towel. Then he laid aside the towel and put on his robes and sat in his position of honor. This illustration was an exhibition of Christ's total life. He laid aside his divinity, he became a servant, he served, and was restored. The disciples must follow the same spirit. They must exhibit the same motives, laying aside all their preconceived honor and power and authority. They must stoop to serve, and then God will highly exalt them. Lesson number 3. Giving instead of getting. This is the measure of selfless service. Jesus said, if you have 2 coats, give one of them away. That is, don't have in excess, more than you can wear, more than you can need. Share. Don't grab to yourself. Think of others. Think of their needs. Put yourself in their position. Supply what you can. This spirit, of course, was exhibited by the Father himself. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave everything in his Son. He emptied heaven in order to bestow upon man the provisions that would enable man to live forever. Part number 4. Needs, not wants. We sometimes work and strive and save and plan to get what we want. And then as soon as we've obtained it, we discover there are some things we want even more. So want is a never-closed mouth waiting to be filled. Needs are different. Needs include the necessities of life. God shall supply all your needs. And he does. More than we can ask or think. I know what our lessons writers had in mind. The heading is Needs Not Wants. No, I have found that God has supplied my wants too. Many, many times. Perhaps not all of them. But all he deems best for me. So he first supplies all our needs. He guarantees those. But beyond that, he gives us so many things. I can look back and thank him 1,000 times for having gone beyond what I asked, for having given more than I ever dreamt I was worth being given. Tender, merciful, understanding, compassionate. He's our friend. He gives us comfort and solace. He surrounds us with friends and loved ones. He gives us health and strength. And these things more than we can ask or think. And he gives us opportunity to serve him, to witness for him, to be surrounded by men and women who are coming out of darkness and finding their way in happiness and praise into the inner circle of God's elect. He surely supplies all our needs, but many times he gives us way beyond those needs. in order that we might take what he has given to us and share them with others. This is the important thing. And part number 5 calls this to attention. One example of apostolic Christianity was that they had all things in common. They sold their possessions, parted with them to all, as many as had need. Times were hard. Christians were being cast out of Hebrew homes as soon as they accepted Jesus Christ. Perhaps jobs were scarce. Jews would not hire Christians. What to do? Those who had, shared. Those who had property sold and shared. Their houses were open to those who had been dispossessed. They shared. Apostolic Christianity is sharing Christianity. Not only did they share the message of salvation, but they shared their goods. And Barnabas, son of consolation, sold his property, laid everything on the altar, and set an example that multitudes followed. Selfless service characterized the Lord Jesus Christ. Selfless service should characterize the disciples of Jesus Christ. So many times we say, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord." And when the appeal for mission service is made, everyone with one consent began to make excuse. Then God has to search diligently, try many persons to fill the vacancy, just as he had to do in 1844 when he needed a prophet to carry his message. But he continues looking, and those who fail to give this kind of service, in the end, are the losers. Part number 6, focus of the week. Selfless service. What is the focus? To destroy self. Take up the cross. The cross is an instrument of execution. Do we say, "Lord, nail me to the cross"? Unresisting, destroy self. Follow me. Follow me. Jesus Christ destroyed self. Not my will, but thine be done. Into thy hand I commend my life. Take it. He that thinks he has found life will lose it, Jesus said. But he that lays down his life and puts in its place my life shall find it. In selfless service there must be self-destruction and Christ exaltation. Must be the removal of covetous motivation and the infusion of the selfless love of Jesus Christ, who with no thought for himself lived for one purpose, to bless others.